I am Jeff Garcia, and you are listening to Locked On Spurs. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your San Antonio Spurs, they got themselves a little mini streak, winning streak, that is. Three games in a row, I know, right? Crazy times, right? I thought they were supposed to be horrible defensively, and this is a new team, and they're taking forever to gel. Well, no. The Spurs have rattled off three in a row, beating the Suns, beating the Lakers, and beating the Mavericks during this three-gamer. So that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. What to make of this three-game win streak? What to make of last night's win versus Phoenix? And to do that and much more, I am joined by my colleague at News 4 San Antonio, and also helps me over at the Spurs Zone. You can find at News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio, Jim Lefkoe. Jim, welcome back to Locked On Spurs.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Always fun to talk Spurs.
Yeah, you're coming back at a good time. They're a little hot right now, three in a row, looking good. Numbers are showing what could be a shift towards something good. But before we dive into this winning streak that they're going on right now, let's talk about last night. They throttled Phoenix. I mean, it was not a contest to begin with. Your general thoughts on the win?
I think the overarching theme of that one was not having to play DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge heavy minutes.
Yeah.
They entered the game 1-2 in the NBA in minutes played, and that's very un-Spurs-like. But that's a combination of, you know, having played a couple overtime games and also, you know, needing to be in down the stretch for so many, you know, close outcomes. So I think it was nice that those guys got to, you know, be spectators in the fourth quarter and still put up monster numbers. My big takeaway was the Suns were undermanned. They didn't have their best player, and even with him, they're not exactly, you know, an elite team. So the Spurs took advantage and did what they needed to do to make it a very comfortable, lopsided victory.
Yeah, it definitely was a lopsided victory since the moment the ball went up in the air. Suns, one win, that's it so far for the season. Spurs, they're a little hot, you know, beating the Lakers and the Mavericks heading into the game against Phoenix. Very close contest prior to the Phoenix game versus Mavericks and the Lakers. So it was a good change of pace, I guess, for San Antonio to get an easy win. But nevertheless, you know, what I took away from the game was they didn't let their foot off the gas pedal. We saw that versus Dallas in San Antonio, where the Spurs had a good, healthy, double-digit lead after half going into the third, and my goodness, the wheels fell off in the third quarter. That's what I was just looking out for during the game, that they'll have that killer instinct that, look, we got to put this team away fast, early, don't give them any life. The last thing this Suns team needed was some sort of, I guess, noteworthy win early for them to maybe propel themselves into a positive way. But nevertheless, that's what I took away with. I'm just glad they just took care of business, got it done, wrapped it up early, and moved on, Jim.
Well, and it was nice to see both a combination of good shooting collectively, led again by DeRozan and Aldridge, who were just, you know, on fire all night. The team shot 55.4% from the field. That's always impressive. But equally impressive was holding Phoenix to under 39%.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time this season, holding an opponent under 100 points. So, you know, this is the defense and the problems they've had on that end of the court. We've been talked about a lot. This is the first occasion where we've really seen it all come together for them. And, you know, I don't want to get too excited. You know, this is not an elite team. It's arguably is the worst team in the NBA.
Right.
But still, to hold them under 100 in this era says something. And the bench came in the fourth quarter and like you say, did not, you know, step off the gas. So
yeah,
that was important to see. You know, you didn't want to see them have to bring Aldridge and DeRozan or one of the two back in the fourth quarter to secure the victory. And the bench did what it was supposed to do, and big effort from Rudy Gay again, who continues to impress. So it was a nice overall collective team win against an opponent that shouldn't have been on the court with the Spurs. And indeed, by the end of the first quarter, you know, the outcome was pretty secure.
You mentioned this, but correct me if I'm wrong, Jim. The Spurs shot a season high so far, 55% from the field for the entire game.
Right.
So that was really good to see because there's some numbers in the win streak that kind of say Spurs haven't really been shooting that great, and we'll talk about that later. But I like to see that. Also like this, too, the bench. I've been noticing during this win streak, and we're going to get more into it in a bit, but you know, it kind of blends into the Phoenix win, that the bench has really been stepping up of late. And you mentioned Rudy Gay. You know, it's been like a third option for DeMar and LaMarcus to lean on and for the team to lean on. But I think there's a guy like Marco Bellinelli, you know, even to a certain degree, Patty Mills and Bertans, you know, these guys have kind of been quietly unsung heroes of late.
Well, the nice thing, I think, is that a rotation is being established.
Mm-hmm.
And now they know their roles. You know, at the start of the season, you know, weren't sure who was going to be starting, especially at the big man spot. You know, Pirtle got a couple looks.
Mm-hmm.
Now they seem to like Cunningham out there for his defense. And it's still subject to change based on the opponent. But I think guys are knowing their roles. You know, Rudy Gay knows he's usually going to start. Obviously, he doesn't have Aldridge in there every night. Forbes. And it just lets everybody else be comfortable in the not only the role they're playing, but the amount of time they're likely to play.
Mm-hmm.
In a game like Phoenix, you know, there's a good chance that the Bertans and Mills and guys like that, Bellinelli, are going to get extended minutes, and they took advantage of it. So I think that's what comes with experience. You know, the team's, you know, got seven games under its belt now, and the normalcy is starting to establish itself. And I think as you get more comfortable, you know what's expected, and you can deliver and produce. And I think that's what you're seeing from the bench. You know, nice, steady production to supplement what the starters are giving them. And don't discount Pau Gasol.
Right.
I think he's important, too. You know, there was some talk that he might start, and it's like he's going to be, you know, most likely coming off the bench against most opponents. But he adds a lot, and I think just another wise hand, somebody who's blocked some shots of late, and is obviously a very good passer. It just gives some stability to that second unit.
Yeah, you know, leave it to Popovich after the game to put the win in perspective. He mentioned the same thing you mentioned, Jim. Devin Booker was not in uniform, calling the, obviously their best players, and he called it basically just an unfair fight. That's all what it came down to. But, you know, Popovich and good old head coaching and, you know, never satisfied with the win. After the game, he says, quote, win or lose, there's always some things you can improve on. There's always things you don't like. Jim, were there anything that maybe you did not like versus Phoenix that you saw?
Yeah, I think you'd really have to be a head coach who's trying to find the subtleties to find negatives on that one. Sure, there's always something. I mean,
yeah.
When a team shoots as well as they did, you know, I guess I mentioned him earlier, but Pirtle, you know, I'm still not sure what his role is.
Yeah.
He was a starter. Then he fell out of the rotation and wasn't playing at all. And then he got in about, I think, 8 minutes last night and scored a couple points against Phoenix. I think he's going to be a work in progress. And, you know, I know they weren't happy with the one little defensive lapse he had, but I don't think that should keep him in the doghouse all season. So I think we'll see his role evolve. And right now, maybe there just isn't enough time with Pau Gasol playing well at the big man spot, too. And if they like Aldridge starting at center, then, you know, there are fewer minutes. But, you know, that's a guy, I'm not saying it's a downside from last night's game, but
right.
He might have hoped that he would have been a little bit more, you know, peppy and produced more. And he got a couple of rebounds, so that's what he's in there for. But that might have been a good game for him to, you know, take an opportunity to get back on the good side of the coaching staff and produce at a bit higher level than he did.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think you can find too many negatives when you beat a 78 team on the road by 30 points, you know, to keep a good thing going that they've done, you know, earlier this week.
Yeah, it's been a good little win streak that the Spurs have amassed right now. You know, beating Phoenix, you know, on paper and on the court, they should have walloped them the way they did last night. But let's go ahead and dive into the win streak. I mentioned outside of the Suns, you know, they've been in the Dallas Mavericks at home. They've been in the Lakers at home. I guess your general thoughts. What do we make of this? Too soon to really, you know, jump on the gravy train and say, yeah, they're back? Or are you, Jim, are you more thinking on the lines of, hey, it is what it is, and let's just hope it keeps going?
Well, you have to look at the quality of the opposition. And overall, this year, the Spurs, you know, the two teams they played that have a winning record right now, they're 0-2 against. And the five teams that are 500 or below, they're 5-0 against. So, you know, the skeptic might say, you know, come back to me when you got a signature victory.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I would argue that playing tight games at the start of the season when you got a new roster gives them an opportunity to see what DeMar DeRozan is going to do in crunch time. You know, how he's obviously the first option in a tight game. And I think you learn a lot more, you know, when you're in a close game like they were against the Lakers in the overtime win over Dallas, than you do in a game like Phoenix where the other team is just outmatched.
Right.
So I think it's good for them. You know, fans might like the lack of drama a little bit better. They can go to bed in the middle of the fourth quarter,
yeah.
You know, in the middle of garbage time on these late West Coast games. But I think the coaching staff likes to see the players get tested and see how they're going to respond when some adversity comes their way. So I think it's nice. Anytime you beat an NBA team and you put three together like they have, that's a positive. They've got a couple of home games this weekend where that stretch could run to five if they keep playing well.
Right.
So I don't get too excited or too down. I think they're playing good basketball right now. Their schedule is what it is. You don't get to pick when you play teams. And this was an easier stretch. You know, the start of the season, we knew on paper this was a chance for them to get some victories and get some chemistry going. But so far, so good. I'm not ready to, anoint them as challengers to Golden State for Western supremacy.
Right.
But I will say that it's a nice start. They're in a good spot. They're staying within contact at the top of the conference. I believe they're in third place right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a place that's where they deserve to be. So I think all is well. It's a nice start to the season.
Yeah, I agree with you. As far as, this win streak and your thoughts on there, my general takeaway before we dive into the numbers after the break was that what I saw versus Dallas really, really, really got me in a good way. And that Spurs team could have rolled over. Dallas, they wanted that win. You could just see it. Luka Doncic, after the loss against San Antonio, he says, "Oh, we should have won this game." And there's a part of me think that, yeah, maybe they should have, but this team, the Spurs team, they gutted it out. They put their nose to the grindstone and they got the W. They did what it had to take. And we went into overtime too, to see DeMar DeRozan step up 6 points in the overtime period, to see a guy like Bryn Forbes step up in the third quarter when it really got dicey for San Antonio, and pumping some points. Bellinelli, doing what he can off that bench as well versus Dallas. He is getting recognized by his teammates for the contributions he's done. That Dallas win in this three-game win streak has been the most impressive for me, simply because they didn't die. They didn't roll over. They didn't just put their hands up. They wanted the win. You could tell DeMar DeRozan wanted the win. It was, that was like, in my opinion, kind of almost like his I am now a Spur win, I am now a San Antonio Spur, because when he hit that game-winning shot, he just flexed. He pumped to the crowd. The crowd was into it. He spoke afterwards about how he relishes being in that moment. To me, that's the win that's been standing out for me in this three-game win streak. Jim?
Yeah, I'd agree. And I'd say anytime you get to overtime, you're going to have a range of emotion. Everybody's going to think if they did one thing different in regulation, they would have won and they wouldn't have to go to the extra period. And, the starters have played long minutes, and then they're going to play, most of them the entire five-minute overtime period. So when you can pull one out like that, and right now they're 2-0 in overtime this year.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget about that crazy game in L.A.
Oh, my God,
143-142. But those are character tests. And just like that first L.A. overtime game, Spurs got down and came back in the final minute of overtime to win. And then in Dallas, same kind of situation. You would like to take care of business in 48 minutes, but I think this reveals character and reveals heart. And it's neat to see them, be perfect in overtime. And, yeah, you'd like to avoid that extra session. And I think that's why Aldridge and DeRozan were 1-2 in minutes played going into last night's game, because you got to go with your A team in overtime, and there's no rest. But hopefully not every victory has to go an extra 5 minutes. They need to take care of business in regulation, and they can build on this. And I think they've got a nice test coming up with New Orleans on Saturday, and then maybe an easier opponent in Orlando. But that's kind of a rarity, having back-to-back home games and consecutive nights. But again, an opportunity for them to go grow this winning streak to five games.
Yeah, I kept on telling myself and, interacting with fans on social media, saying it's just too early for these nail biters. The season just began. Let's wait till mid-season, then we can get into some heart-pounding games. But, I'll take the Ws. I know the Spurs will take the Ws. The fans will take the Ws rather than losses. It's just really, really good to see the Spurs are coming together. Bryn Forbes recently touched on that. You can find that article and what he had to say over at the Spurs Zone at News4SanAntonio.com and Fox29SanAntonio.com. And in a nutshell, saying he's starting to see things come together little by little. He didn't say they're there. He's just still a work in progress, but chipping away. So it's really good to see that coming from the Spurs. But Jim and I, we're going to take our first break. When we get back, we're going to look at a few numbers during this win streak and what's been standing out and what hasn't. So sit back. We'll be right back. Okay, we are back, and I am joined by my colleague at News4 San Antonio, Jim Lefko. Follow him on Twitter, at Jim Lefko. Jim, I know under 30 minutes you can probably post 60 points, right? You can just destroy Klay Thompson's performance, right, Jim?
He was rather happy today, wasn't he?
Just a little
bit.
He was
in the zone.
My goodness. I have to admit, I actually turned away from the Spurs game just to see history being made, and I just could not believe how unconscious he was from deep. But, hey, you know, in today's NBA, in this season, my goodness, is anything shocking now when a player puts up that many points when defenses are not allowed to be defenses so far through this young season, Jim?
Well, players dream about being in that zone, and I hope they never wake up from it. But usually what you see happen is a guy has a great half,
yeah,
and maybe puts up 25 or 30, and then he cools off in the second half. But that didn't happen there. He put up some big numbers. But, you know, the Spurs have been putting up some big numbers.
Yeah, they have.
They get DeRozan and Aldridge last night,
mm-hmm,
combined 20 of 25 from the field. And, you know, those guys, those aren't all dunks and layups. You know, they're shooting a lot of mid-range,
mm-hmm,
jumpers, and, you know, nobody expects that to continue, but maybe that wasn't the same kind of zone that Klay Thompson was in. But
right,
that's pretty impressive. Again, you're going up against NBA players. Aldridge is going up against the number one pick in the draft,
yeah,
you know, in the Suns, Aiden. So I was impressed by that. And Aldridge has not shot the ball that well this season consistently. So to see him have a shooting night like that and play off the success that DeRozan had, that was special. You know, DeRozan got 20 of his points in the first half, and Aldridge had 16 in the third quarter. So, well, you have that 1-2 punch. That's going to bode well for the future. So I'm not predicting they're going to go 20 of 25 combined, you know, most nights, but they've got it in them, and they got the potential. And then you saw everybody else feed off of those guys. And suddenly everybody else, the basket looks like it's 4 feet wide.
Oh, yeah.
And, it was fun to see. It was kind of the ripple effect. And there's some really good shooters on this team, and last night was evidence of that.
Well, let's go ahead and dive into some numbers during this three-game win streak. Jim, one of the big numbers that stands out for me is the defensive rating. To start the season, the Spurs weren't that great on the defensive end, but at least through three games, 94. And so they're holding teams to as a net right now, 94 points per game. Their offensive rating is up to 108, which is a combined net rating of plus 14. What do you make of that, Jim?
Well, again, if you're just going on a three-game winning streak, again, these were three teams that are probably lottery-bound. And you would hope, I think, if you're Popovich, that magical triple-digit number for points, you know, 100, I think that's probably still the goal. You know, how realistic that is on a nightly basis, you know, is arguable. But the fact that all three of these wins, nobody scored over 110, you know, maybe that's the new barometer, you know, the new litmus test is keep a team under 110. And they were able to do that, so... you know, it still seems odd to be excited about, you know, giving up 108 points and winning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so many years, you know, the Spurs were holding teams in the 80s and in the 90s.
Yeah.
And, you know, even last night, you know, Phoenix outmatched from the start, they got to 90. And, you know, the Spurs probably could have kept them a little lower if the first team had been in the fourth quarter. But the whole statistical analysis is changing because of the way that the pace of basketball right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to readjust, I guess, how we evaluate. And I think Pop would be the first to say that the defense has not been his team's strong point. So that's where the emphasis needs to be moving forward. And I think you'll probably continue to see this come down. I don't expect too many 140-point you know, outputs like they did in that first Lakers game. I think 100 to 110, if they can consistently hold teams at or below that number, you're going to see the numbers that the Spurs fans are used to from all those other defensive percentages.
Yeah, earlier this season, DeMar DeRozan touched on the incredible numbers that teams are posting, you know, on the scoreboard. And he predicts that as the season goes through, they'll also start to balance out, level out a bit as the teams and players get used to the new rules. So definitely something to look out for. But, Jim, I'm glad you brought up pace. You've written about pace at the Spurs zone at News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio. In this win streak, the Spurs pace is now up to 103.1. This so far to start the season, they've been almost circling the bottom of the barrel in that department. So you're seeing a little bit of a spike towards something good. To keep it up with teams, they're trying to push the game a little bit more, Jim.
Well, you know, teams, you know, historically like Phoenix, when they were trying to get a shot off back in the day in 8 seconds, and then more recently, you know, Houston and Golden State just coming down and launching threes. I don't think you're ever going to see that be the way that the Spurs attack the offensive end of the court.
Mm-hmm.
They prefer to run plays that might involve, you know, four or five passes, two or three screens, some back cuts. So, you know, I'm all for them getting the ball off court, you know, extra possessions and all that. But I also like what a well-crafted offense can produce. And it's amazing how many open looks, certainly last night,
mm-hmm,
and even throughout this winning streak,
the
Spurs have gotten. So just to go down and force the pace and jack up a contested three, I don't think that's Spurs basketball, and I don't think we're going to see them ever evolve to that. And if they're one of the slower-paced teams, keep in mind the pace is up so fast, and it's still faster than we're used to seeing. So I don't know that that's a negative statistic. I think you can have a winning record and have and be near the bottom in pace if you're hitting a high percentage of shots. And right. I think that's the goal. You know, the Spurs they don't care about conventional wisdom. You know, most NBA teams are shooting threes and then shooting in the paint. And here the Spurs are with the mid-range game, that's, you know, led by Aldridge and DeRozan. And you're not going to change what those guys do. So, you know, again, they're not saying it, for other teams that might not be a good strategy, but for the Spurs, you know, run what you got. And that's getting nice open looks for DeRozan and Aldridge and all the rest. Rudy Gay, another one, you know, their third leading scorer is also a mid-range jumper kind of guy. Although the funny thing about him, you know, if he'd had enough shots to qualify, he's the NBA leader in three-point percentage.
Right.
Now, again, a little bit of a misleading statistic because he's, I think, 9 of 14 for the season. But he went into the game last night hitting about two-thirds of his shots. So, again, it's early. They played 7 games, and they have 75 to go. But that's one that I would not have seen coming. You know, Rudy Gay lead the NBA in three-point shooting percentage. So, you know, they're getting good looks, and I guess I would attribute that to the fact that he's not forcing shots. And that goes back to pace. If you're wide open and you're behind 3, the coaching staff wants you to take that shot. But if it's contested and it's running in the shot clock, work it around and get yourself or a teammate a better look.
Well, not everything has been all roses and flowers and rainbows during this 3-game win streak. One thing that's really been concerning me is the Spurs are coughing the ball up a little bit more in the last 3 games. They're near 15 turnovers per game. They're about 14.7. I bring this up because to start the season and before the 3-game win streak, they were among the league leaders of keeping turnovers low, 9-10 on average. Jim, it's a very small sample size. I get it, you know, 3 games. But still, what do you make of that?
Well, yeah, you're right. It's something to pay attention to. I think I'd be more concerned if they were turning over, you know, in the 20s. And I think that would be, you know, they wouldn't be winning these games if they were. I think, you know, certain guys are going to turn it over. You know, Bellinelli had 3 last night.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Probably not necessary to force in the action a little bit. But, you know, it's going to happen. Forbes is still adjusting to being the starting point guard. He's going to, you know, have a turnover to every game. Sometimes big men, you know, just the ball doesn't find them. You know, Gasol's had a game or two. You know, it happens. The other teams are pretty good defensively and trying to steal the ball, too. I think it's something you watch, but it's kind of like if you're in a free throw slump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you talk about it, sometimes the worse it gets. And I'm not trying to jinx the Spurs because they've been shooting great from the foul line. But the turnover is the same way. I think as a coaching staff, they emphasize protect the ball, don't waste possessions. And from there, you got a veteran team. So I wouldn't think that this is going to be a season-long problem. Right now, statistically, it's something to watch. But there's no one guy every night that's turning the ball over 7 times. And if that was the case, then I think you'd have a real issue. So they're pretty spread out. There's no one guy that's, you know, the culprit here. And I think just, you know, better care for the ball and making sure, you know, what you're doing before you pass it will keep that number at a minimum.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought this up. And, you know, your take on this, you know, because I just don't want it to be a pattern to start to the beginning of a pattern here that, you know, they're coming careless with the ball or maybe like you mentioned Bellinelli or whichever players on the court forcing the action. Because in today's NBA, right now, possessions almost could be seen as valuable currency, considering how fast they're going up and the fast break points are up and the score is up. You don't want to give an opposing team those second, third opportunities, easy buckets, and the Spurs simply cannot afford that, and especially in a stacked West where if they just cut down a turnover here and there, you know, they could have eked out a win and not be 7th or 8th in the standings and maybe jumped up to 3, 4, or 2. So, yeah, I mean, this is just something to keep an eye on. You know, it hopefully doesn't trend upwards. One final thing, Jim, and help me with this one. During this 3-game win streak, the Spurs' 3-point field goal percentage is down tremendously to 30%. That's simply just because maybe they are relying on DeMar and LaMarcus to carry the load here. So the mid-range numbers are up. What do you make of that?
Well, again, it's a small sample size. Yeah. You know, they didn't shoot particularly well from 3-point range last night. They were just killing it from 2-point range. So I think if an in-game trend is happening, my advice is they shoot more 2s and less 3s.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's such a premium on those 3s. And again, last night I'm looking at the stats, and Bellinelli and Mills, you know, 2 great 3-point shooters, were a combined 2 of 9. Well, I don't think that's going to happen too often. I think you want Mills shooting away from out there. You know, you'd like him to hit a higher percentage. You know, the best 3-point shooters are, low 40s, upper 30%. So there's some work that needs to be done there. But again, I don't see it as a huge problem. They've got good shooters on this team. Remember Danny Green, last couple of years would go through some slumps as a 3-point shooter. But, at the end of the day, you knew he was going to get his touchback, and that was his trademark. So I'm really, again, I don't think it's a huge issue. When you beat a team by 30 points, I think the fact that you were 4 of 18 from 3-point range is something you can live with. If they were shots within the flow of the offense and they just weren't falling, so be it. But so much of that game last night was garbage time, and
that wasn't
the case in the other two games. But I don't think as a coaching staff the Spurs crunch the numbers the way we do.
Yeah.
They look at the season as an entirety. They look at individual players and see if the shot is being taken in the correct spot at the height of their jump. Again, somebody like Patty Mills, he's going to have some aberrations, but he's going to hit that 3-point shot consistently. And same thing with Bellinelli.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of two guys I'd rather have the ball in their hands in a clutch situation behind the arc than those two.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that maybe they haven't been stroking it as well, and the team's still been winning, I almost looked at that as a positive. But there's other things they can do if that shot isn't there. And look at the hustle that the Bellinelli puts forth on the offensive end, with the cuts to the basket and everything else. And Mills gives intangibles as well. So, yeah, you'd like to see them hit it at a higher percentage, but maybe they're just saving them for the games where they really need them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Jim and I, we're going to take our second break. When we get back, ask a big question. Do we take this winning streak with a grain of salt, or, do we put some stock into this? So hang on tight, we'll be right back. Okay, we are back, and once again, I am joined by Jim Lefko. Follow him on Twitter at Jim Lefko. Jim, DeJounte Murray just needs to stop posting, on his social media and just close this stuff up and just focus on rehab. Did you see his latest? He's at the practice gym, Van. He's doing he said baby steps. You see his knee all wrapped up. I mean, my first thought is, okay, DeJounte, that's good. Just put the cell phone down, okay? Just focus on training.
I think he's a young fella, and he obviously likes to share his life on social media, and he's happy that, he's up and about. And, even though he's not expected back this season, I think fans take a little bit of, get some happiness out of the fact that, he is so, giving, that he does want to share his life like this.
That is true.
A lot of veteran Spurs aren't like that. They don't really use social media that way. So I think it's good to keep up with him. In a sense, it kind of hurts because, you see this guy and it looks like, maybe he's making a little bit of improvement sometimes. And you think, well, that's not going to matter. He's not part of the equation this year. And in the NBA, you don't redshirt. It's a season of his career that he's not going to get to experience. So hopefully he's learning a lot on the sidelines and making good progress. And he's got a really good way about him and a good personality. So I kind of enjoy the fact that he shares what will probably be some ups and some downs as the rehab process gets underway.
Yeah, unlike somebody who shall not be named who was in San Antonio last year and just was a no-show. But, yeah, it really is good to see DeJounte sharing his rehab process with fans. Maybe I'm just too old school still, Jim. I'm thinking focus on work.
Well, I like that. I like, DeMar DeRozan's got a nice personality. And, it'd be neat if, the Spurs management, I don't know that they necessarily encourage that, but I hope they don't discourage it because I think fans really enjoy connecting with these players and they've got a lot to offer both on and off the court. Patty Mills put some social media out there with what he dressed up as for Halloween, I think, at a recent concert. And then that was kind of fun to look at. So
yeah.
I think the more these guys can do to personalize themselves and relate to the fans, the better it is for all sides. Fans love to get to know what these players are interested in off the court. And if they want to share what they're into via social media, I say bring it on. It's great for everybody.
Yeah, and you can see DeJounte's latest video over at the Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. It's there right now, so go check him out, and we'll put a smile on your face because he's definitely in good spirits. But let's go to wrap this up, Jim. All right, so, we're talking about this 3-game win streak. A lot of fans are excited. We're back. We're championship is on the way, and there's a segment of fans that are looking at this like, okay, this is good, but I'm still not convinced. What do you make of this? How should fans look at this 3-game win streak?
Well, there's 75 games left. I would look at it as a three-game winning streak, turn them from a 2-2 team into a 5-2 team. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Spurs are comfortable being over 500. So hopefully they sustain it. What we've seen so far is good. Knock on wood, the injury problem is behind them. Since the season started, there hasn't been anything significant that's happened. And maybe before too long, we'll get some of those injured guards back in the rotation. But I think in the NBA, you get in trouble if you look too far ahead. And they got a tough opponent coming in here in New Orleans. Somebody that is right about their level in terms of conference seeding. And you look back historically last year where they were. So it should be a good matchup. They've got one of the best young big men in the game, probably arguably the best big man. Mm-hmm. So I like to see the matchups. I think the fact that it's November 1st, anybody that's looking at the playoff race this early, they got 4 or 5 more months to worry about that. Let them establish more consistency, mm-hmm. see if they can stretch this winning streak out a little bit longer until they go back on the road and just get to combine the efforts that they're getting from both the starters and the bench, see if this defensive newfound prowess can continue and take it, like the coaches always say, a game or two at a time and then see what this weekend bodes.
Yeah, I am right there with you. I think this is a nice three-gamer. I'll take it. I like to see that it's at least allowing the players to have some good emotion, maybe a good flight back to San Antonio, coming off a win, 3 wins in a row. And I think it's something you build on. I think if you were to end tomorrow versus New Orleans and then restart again, another 3-4 in a row, I think that's good for this team. It shows them how they're going to do early on with adversity, how they're going to do on with success, and how to translate that and carry that with them after the All-Star break when it's go time, when it's time to shine. So I'll take it, but I'm not putting too much stock in it. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what they do with this. And you mentioned the New Orleans is coming up, and that's going to be a big test for San Antonio. I think they'll rise to the occasion. And I think it'll be a good game. I just don't want another nail biter, Jim. I don't know. I don't know if I can handle another one early on, Jim.
We've had enough overtime to last this, to at least the All-Star break. But, fans that don't like drama, be careful what you wish for. A bunch of 30-point victories, well, nice for the win-loss record. I kind of like to see when they're tested.
Mm-hmm.
And, at the end of the season, and certainly come playoff time, there aren't going to be too many laughers. So why not see what the guys can do under pressure? The good free throw shooting is great, but does it hold up in the final 2 minutes of a close game? Who's going to take that last shot? Are they going to keep going to DeRozan, or are there other options that they've got? There's still a lot of questions here. Cunningham and his role, that this streak has kind of solidified him in there in that starting lineup. Is that a good fit? Mm-hmm. He's not a big offensive producer, but he plays great defense, and I think the Spurs need that. So there's a lot of things we can see moving forward. That we've seen some nice trends developed over this three-game streak, and let's see if they continue as the competition gets a little stiffer Saturday against New Orleans.
Well, obviously, Jim, the closer is Jakob Poeltl. I mean, why would you want to go to DeMar? Why would you want to go to LaMarcus, Jim?
We had high hopes for him going into the season, and I'm not ready to write him off yet. Clearly, he kind of found his way out of the rotation. So I don't think he's going to be on the court at the end of too many close games. But who knows? It's a long season, and he's going to get his shot. We learned that in previous years, that even when guys are at the end of the bench and not getting quality minutes, they need to stay focused, because Pop's going to call their number again, and they'll get a chance to show what they got.
I just don't want him to turn into the human victory cigar, Jim. I really, really don't. He looks like he's right. I don't want him to trend that way, because I had high hopes with him, too, heading into the new season, Jim.
Well, I don't think he's Boban Marjanovic. Boban was a big crowd favorite that always put in, and I think people lost sight of the fact that the guy could really play.
Yeah.
And I think there's a reason the Poeltl was in that trade that brought DeMar DeRozan here. So I just don't think we've seen it yet, and I think he's developing, and the Spurs are famous for developing young talent. So I think this kid's got a nice future. We'll have to be patient to see how he matures.
Here's something fun to do. Even when he doesn't play, or even when he fell out of rotation and was in the starting lineup and on the bench, if you go to his Facebook page, every win, he's just like on cloud nine. He'll write this little mini two quick 4 or 5 sentences about the win, and he's loving it. So I'm glad to see he's still feeling good in his new surroundings in San Antonio. But Jim and I, we're done talking. We want to know what you think. What do you make of this three-game win streak? You all in, or are you still kind of saying, you know, hey, you know, season just started. We'll see how they are as the season goes on. You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at jeffgspurszone. And obviously go to the Spurs Zone on News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 sanantonio.com. Jim's work is there. My work is there. And I've said this before, Jim, and I'll just – it bears repeating. One of the slogans in the sports department is all over the Spurs. The Spurs Zone is that. It's all over the Spurs. Every day, every hour, it's there. You need something black, silver and black, go to the Spurs Zone. And Jim now is going to tell you how you can talk to him on social media.
Well, in addition to reading our stories, the best way to connect with me is on Twitter, at Jim Lefko. And always happy to hear what fans have to say and agree, disagree, but engage, because that's what makes this fun.
Jim was the one who wrote the article about Kawhi Leonard being MVP. It wasn't me. So go to follow Jim, and you can get to give him a piece of your mind, Spurs fans. By the way, Jim, before we wrap up, what did you think of that that Halloween decoration with a tombstone with Kawhi Leonard's name on it and the Spurs symbol X'd out?
There's some mean-spirited folks out there. I think that's the time, the holiday, to, I guess, have fun with that. But, again, for those that haven't watched him on a nightly basis, he's having a pretty solid year for the Raptors. I know they've rested him a couple times, but it's going to be quite a day when he comes back to town, and it's early January for Toronto's only appearance. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And as we found out, that's probably not going to be the highest ticket game this year. Manu Ginobili's retirement, to me, is now emerged as a must-see Spurs game to see him go out in style. So I'm looking forward to that one for an entirely different reason than I'm looking forward to Toronto's visit in January. But how cool that they're going to honor Manu this season. Fans get to finally say goodbye to one of the all-time greats.
It was a no-brainer. I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad they're going to give him the treatment that he deserves and see that number 20 hang among the greatest. What are they at to now? They're at 9 jerseys retired or 10?
I think he's going to be 9. Okay. And then I think I tweeted the number 9 is going to be number 10.
I see what you did there, Jim.
Tony Parker, I think, is going to be next up. But can't retire a jersey for a guy who's still playing. So, and he's done pretty well lately, too. That'll be neat to see all those jerseys hanging up there and know that nobody's going to ever wear number 20 again in a Spurs uniform.
I hope they group the big three jerseys all together and don't separate them out. I hope they put them together like that. That'd be good. Yeah. And then we'll put Jakob Poeltl's next to Tony Parker's when his time is over. But I couldn't think of a better way to end this episode of Locked On Spurs, Jim. So for
he's got a little work ahead of him before he gets into that discussion. But who knows? He's still a young man.
I know. I'm just ribbing Poeltl. I hope he does well as the season goes on. But for Jim Lefko, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.